Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks, it's Rip. This is The Elephant in the Room. And this week's elephant in the room is exhaustion. I'm in Boston today. I am on a seemingly endless journey across these great states of ours in this beautiful republic. One more day here, and then I get to go home. I'm really excited about it. I am. By the time you're seeing this, I will be, hopefully, home. It's been a minute. Been back for a day or two here and there, but it's been almost a month on the road. I want to talk about the elephant in the room today, and that's fatigue. I know a lot of you are tired. I know a lot of you feel like nothing stops the parade of crap. Nothing stops the catalog of terrors and horrors. Nothing stops the bad people from doing the bad things that they want to do as part of their terrible, dark, evil plan for this country. I want to say this very clearly. I am a friend to fatigue. I am a friend to exhaustion. I go really hard. I'm 61 years old. I travel more than most people can imagine. I work a lot of hours in the day, and I'm not making excuses about it. I'm not being a champion because I work hard. But I understand fatigue, and I understand how sometimes this can feel like a really uphill battle. Sometimes this can feel like, you know, like a Don Quixote-style fight. We're always, you know, tilting at the windmill of Trump's bullshit. I want to say this to everybody because I do hear from people every day who worry that they're not doing enough, that they're not engaged enough, that they're not fighting hard enough. And a lot of the time, I'll tell them something they don't necessarily want to hear. You're probably right. What do I ask myself every day? What else could I be doing? You know, I feel a lot of frustration like you do when the media won't do its job. And you can already see, by the way, they're already dropping off the coverage of the scam jet, okay, of Qatar-a-Lago. They're already like, okay, it's Trump. What are we going to do? I get your frustration. But the big rule, we've talked about this before, when you are tired, don't quit. Just rest. When you're exhausted, don't throw down your weapons and walk away from the fight. Go back, hydrate, take a nap, get back in it. Americans are astoundingly resilient. They are astoundingly resilient people. Look at what we have suffered through this last decade. And you think to yourself, the American people, nobody could take that. Nobody could take that much chaos and pain and fear and loss. But we do. Americans, and that's all of you, are astoundingly resilient people. You are strong people. Yes, it's okay to feel tired. It's okay to feel beat up and battered and like what the fuck is it this time? What fresh hell awaits us today, if I may mangle Dorothy Parker slightly? It's okay to feel that way because the pain and the chaos and the loss and the suffering that he is causing at the end is making you stronger. I'm not going all Nietzsche on you here, but in the end, this is making you stronger. I think a lot of Americans were in the soft, comfortable place where they looked at democracy as something in the background, music playing softly in the distance. They looked at it as a given. McDonald's will always have the McRib. And I think that a lot of Americans, painfully, have become aware that we are required to be active citizens now. We are required to engage. We are required to fight. We are required to be in the battle. Be eager for the fray. Our lives are different than they were. Your life is different. My life is different. All of our lives have been changed because we no longer have the luxury of believing that the system's going to always work, that we're going to be okay. We no longer have the luxury of believing that as long as we vote occasionally and nobody too crazy on either side takes too much control for too long, we'll be all right. And the place your exhaustion comes from is the knowledge that we won't, that we have to do this, that this is on us. This is on every American now to stay in this fight. It's on everybody to keep this going. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants this. even a lot of these Republicans who have been lockstep loyalists to Trump, I have not heard so much anxiety and fear and what happens if he dies, what happens if they catch us, what happens if this goes wrong, what happens when this is over. Because there are a lot of Republicans now who understand there's a moment where this will end someday. We may be in a place where the country is unrecognizable and it's a very terrible end. Donald Trump's days are on a calendar now. It's years, not decades, knock wood. The actuarial tables are undefeated presently in all of human history. But that moment of between now and then, that moment between the last time he walks out or is carried out of the White House, there's a long way between here and there. Now, look, this fight after Trump, the decades-long cleanup we're going to have to mount after this, is a great work. It is a great and painful work ahead of us. We are going to have to reform this government. We're going to have to reform the parties. We're going to have to reform ourselves as citizens. We're going to have to never again, stop me if you've heard that phrase before, never again allow this kind of authoritarianism and corruption and kleptocracy to define our country, to define our nation, to define our people. Because right now, our international brand for generations was that the Americans were the clumsy geniuses. They were the bumbling titans. They were the nation with so much power, it hardly understood what to do with it. And there were countries that have always had our least salutary interests at heart: Russia, China. We've let Russia put all of Europe at threat. We've let Russia continue a brutal war crimes regime in Ukraine. We've let China become the global leader of economic power. We've let China become a global leader in soft power. Because you know what? Those USAID bags, rice, grains, beans that used to be delivered in the poorest and darkest and most terrifying crises in the world used to have USAID on them. Now that's in Mandarin. And so that feeling of the disconnection of what you believed America is and what it is acting like today is what makes you tired. So it makes you exhausted.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
And look, I know we all wanted to win in the fall of 24, but that moment, that night on election night, when you saw the numbers rolling up, you should think about that as the lowest you got, because the toughest it's been. Because it was. It's a tough night. Can't dispute it. But every day, he shows you two things. And I really find a lot of strength and energy when I talk about this with people. The first thing you should be reminded of every day is that while they are evil, they are also largely stupid. Who's the they I refer to? The they are most of the people Trump has empowered to enable his weird authoritarian fantasies. Some of them are smart. And the smarter ones are the more evil ones. Stephen Miller, call your office, in the Reich's Ministry of National Security. But they're making gigantic mistakes. They're making mistakes that are unable to be rectified by Trump's mere popularity with his base. They are proposing a budget that gives Elon Musk a multi-billion dollar tax break every year while slashing Medicaid to the bone and Medicare to the bone. I have heard from several Republican folks on the Hill, two in the Senate, one in the House, on the Republican side, who have said, if they pass this big, beautiful bill and the Democrats can't beat us, it's because Trump has a deal with the devil. The Republicans' own polling in the House for the NRCC, for the House caucus, let me rephrase that. The polling for the House caucus, I don't know if the NRCC paid for it or if the outside super PAC paid for it, on the cuts to Medicare and Medicaid are so bad, are so fucking terrible as a political impact that Mike Johnson did not want them to be briefed on it. Those numbers are out there, though. They're making mistakes. Trump is making mistakes, too. The jet, whether you think it is outrageous or not, and it is, it's a mistake. One thing that always popped up in all those old focus groups about Trump, oh, he's too rich to be corrupt. He makes so much money. He's a billionaire. He could never be bought. Yes, he can. You got the guys that own TikTok just bought $300 million of Trump's scam coin. You've got this jet deal. You've got Uday and Kusei Trump going out and making these real estate deals for golf courses and condos and bullshit all over the Middle East. This administration is the most profoundly corrupt administration in history, and corruption always catches up. It is a force of political gravity that they are underestimating, and it is a mistake what they're doing. Whether they face any legal liability for it, the political liability is real, it's spectacular, and it's going to hurt them politically. These guys down the food chain, these Republican candidates down the food chain, you know what they're running on right now? You know what they're running on right against their Democratic opponents right now? Their message is, oh, you covered up for Biden being too old. Let me tell you guys, that ain't it, Chief. That ain't it.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
They have embraced the trade war and its devastation to come. They have embraced the scam culture and corruption around Trump. They have embraced the Bitcoin scams. They have embraced the plane scam. They have embraced the real estate scam. As economic hardship increases on Trump's own voters, guess what? They're going to be looking across and going, well, that motherfucker got a $500 million jet, and I can find the dolls my daughter wants. They are making mistakes. People who get tired make mistakes. His own people are tired. His own people live every day in a culture where a snitch can get you fired. They live every day in a culture where the lies build up and up and up, and lies weigh on people over time. Because while a lot of them are sociopathic, they're not all at the sociopathic level of a Donald Trump. While a lot of them are crazy, they're not all as crazy as Donald Trump. This jet has been a big fracture point inside of the MAGA movement. You've got Laura Loomer and Eric Erickson and Ben Shapiro and all these other folks who ordinarily are the like automatic defenders of Trump. He's made a mistake, guys. This is a mistake. His tariff thing was a mistake. His drop off and come down on that when China has given nothing. Nothing. They made no affirmative move. They just said, yeah, okay, 35%, good, we'll do that. Because they understand they've consciously decoupled from the American bond market and American trade, and the whirlwind we're going to reap on this mistake is enormous. So I want to go back to the beginning and what I said in the very beginning. I know many of you are tired and frustrated, and you feel like you can't get a win against this fucker. Every day, they get weaker, we get stronger. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Every day they get weaker, we get stronger. Why? Because those of us who believe in this big, messy, beautiful republic based on sacred democratic principles, we're still holding to the good. We're still believing in the good and the goodness of what this country is and can be. They believe what Trump tells them is real that minute, that day, that hour. You can't live in that kind of world infinitely. You can't live in that kind of world without it corroding your spirit and your abilities and your honor and your intellect. We're on the right side of history. It doesn't matter if the Democratic Party has 1,000 flaws right now, and it is as effed up as it's ever been. I'm not going to spin you on that. But there are a lot of people who don't depend on the traditional party structure, who don't depend on the old ways of doing business, who don't depend on pretending that our honorable colleagues on the other side of the aisle are just different in a belief or a policy than we are. They're getting weaker because authoritarianism is a corrosive, horrifying exercise. They're all scared every day. They all wonder when they're going to fall from power. They all know that one wrong word, one wrong tweet, one wrong move, one failure at an operation or a policy, and it means Trump throws them over the cliff. Sometimes he does it subtly. Sometimes he does it brutally. But no one who works for him, none of his real supporters in Congress, wake up every day and go, you know what? I feel great today. I can't wait to go out and promote Trump and Trumpism with all the passion of my heart because I know I'm doing the right thing. They're doing the wrong thing. They all know it. They all know it. You folks are doing the right thing. You're staying in the fight. You're communicating with your friends, your neighbors. You're volunteering to register voters, start knocking on doors, to start doing the work. Guys, Virginia is going to come up fast. We're going to be deeply involved in Virginia this year because Elon Musk has killed off over 100,000 jobs in Virginia, and he needs to pay a price. And by needs to pay a price, I mean the Republican Party. We can take half the seats we need by winning in Virginia. We're doing that because instead of being tired, we're going to be busy. Instead of being exhausted, we're going to be committed. Instead of being frustrated, we're going to be motivated. I'm not the best pep talk guy in the world. I will tell you the truth when I'm tired or when I'm pissed off or when I'm unmotivated. But right now, they are losing. Trump's numbers are in the ditch. Trump's supporters' numbers are in the ditch. The Democrats have a lot of work to do to get themselves out of the ditch. We can help, but for my mind right now, the most important thing all of you can do is rest, recommit, stay in this fight. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room.
And good luck.